This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
John, thanks for the invitation. Thanks to having the opportunity to talk about this important issue. And what I just want to focus on is about the nature of organised crime and the need for partnership working. I think it's fair to say we need no reminding that organised crime is entrepreneurial, agile and resilient. It does not respect regional, national or international boundaries and often exploits the gaps between different jurisdictions. It ruins lives and targets the most vulnerable individuals, communities and businesses, as well as the public purse. And it is directly or indirectly responsible for much of the crime which we see on our streets. It's behind many of the local problems that will be at the forefront of the minds, I'm sure, of the proposed directly elected police and crime commissioners. It also is increasingly globalised and IT-enabled. Like any business, it will exploit opportunities in the market and it prospers in ungoverned and inadequately regulated spaces where it corrupts businesses and governments and potentially causes fragile states to fail. And the trend is increasing exponentially, clearly, as we see the greater dependence by society on the internet. Because of its nature and scale, it is more than any one agency or indeed any one country can tackle on its own. It requires partnership and collaboration, and this has been the key to SOCR's approach. Since its inception, we've tried to take a long-term interventionist approach to disrupting organised crime, not just through traditional law enforcement tools, which we use a lot of, but working with partners across the intelligence and law enforcement communities, public sector, private sector, third sector, and indeed those overseas, to dislocate criminal markets, whether by putting top-end criminals behind bars or through other civil and administrative measures and destabilising the structures around the main players, making them more vulnerable. Which is all great, but actually we need a framework for action. And what is that? Whilst we await the final details of the NCA, in my view, what is being proposed now for the UK is an outstanding opportunity for us to achieve the next quantum leap, the next step change in our response to organised crime. To date, the cross-agency approach on which success against organised crime has to rely has been described as the coalition of the willing. We look forward to building on the knowledge, capabilities and skills that have already been developed and to effective national tasking and coordination across the various agencies involved. This will ensure that more law enforcement activity takes place against more organised criminals and indeed, hopefully, at lesser cost, and as well as strengthening our border policing arrangements. More than this, though, I think is required, and it's therefore right to see the NCA fit within a wider set of changes. It fits with the strategic policing requirement and the coordinated response to organised crime that will be driven by the organised crime strategy, which is currently under development by the government. And I think in that, we have to include a more focused set of performance measures to support the driving forward of that strategy. This will be delivered through the NCA, or SOCR in the short term, other law enforcement agencies, government departments and the private and third sectors, and will enable us to focus on addressing organised crime from the international to the local level. And here we must absolutely remember the importance of linking what the organised crime strategy is for England and Wales to the approach which we see both in Scotland and Northern Ireland around their organised crime task force. Otherwise, we will not have a comprehensive UK response to organised crime. Putting all this together, I think that we will have a sharper focus on the problem with all parties clear about what part they have to play and what success will look like. But what about the partnership issues? From what I've highlighted, it's apparent that partnership must be central to our approach. Others are far better qualified than I to talk about the theoretical aspects of partnerships and nature and how they operate. What I'd like to do is to highlight three areas in which I think partnership is essential to tackling organised crime. Let me first address the nature of international partnerships. If organised crime is a global phenomenon, then the response to it has to take place in an international context. In our investigations, of course, we need to embrace multilateral bodies like Interpol, Europol and Eurojust. And on that, I'm an absolute firm believer in the use of joint investigation teams in the EU context. Then there are the bilateral relationships, difficult to establish, often complex and expensive to maintain, and on occasions, less so, but still on occasions, challenging to explain the value of to those who really do not understand or grasp the true nature of organised crime. To respond to this, let me use a metaphor used by Sir David Phillips when we were exploring the nature of the cross-border response to organised crime back in the 1990s. David said, "If in 1940 the Lancashire Fusiliers thought the best place to defend Lancashire was on the borders of Cheshire and Lancashire, they would have been sorely mistaken." 15 years later, I think that still is an important metaphor for us as we go forward and looking about partnership working and how we deal with criminality, organised criminality across borders. To Sir David's point, I'd add a practical issue. When drugs hit the UK shores, they atomise down to street-level dealers. This makes the challenge even greater for law enforcement. Surely, therefore, it makes sense to do as much upstream activity as we possibly can to lever up the capability and capacity of others as much as possible. An approach which I'm delighted to say sits real front and square in the government's new drug strategy. And a final word on international partnerships. Never underestimate the effort and commitment that our international partners display. For example, two areas where SOCA works very closely with international partners, Colombia and Afghanistan. Colombia with a range of Colombian law enforcement, and in Afghanistan with the emerging anti-narcotics agencies. It's salutary that in Colombia, every other day, a member of law enforcement dies in the fight against organised crime and drugs. And it's even more acute in Afghanistan. And we do have much to thank our international partners for when you look at the risks which they face on a daily basis, often supporting UK initiatives. Let me turn now to partnerships with the private sector and a broader set of regulatory partners. The private sector can do much to assist in the fight against organised crime. In part, they have a responsibility to protect themselves and from vulnerability and risk. And I think that's particularly so in the cyber domain in relation to cyber-related attacks as we now see them. However, they can also do much to ensure the enablers that organised crime use are denied or subject to appropriate reporting. In turn, this sector needs timely alerts to enable them to make key judgments about the risks they face and the responses which they can put in place. An example. Work with the private sector includes SOCA's efforts to systematically target the trade in stolen criminal information predominantly, which is acquired through cybercrime. In the last 12 months, we've identified some 1.4 million items of compromised data, credit card and payment card data. This has been passed to UK payments via our alert system, and the data has been subsequently used to prevent fraud and identity theft where security breaches have occurred. Yeah, that has real value, that's got tangible financial value as well. And it's an approach which we're encouraging and which is being taken up by partners in the US, Europe and Australia. In terms of the broader regulatory and public sector, as we seek to expand our attack against organised crime and provide the extent of coverage that we need, it's vital that we can engage with all who actually bear down on the issue. This applies equally to those who provide a platform for law enforcement activity, such as prosecutors or, in the international dimension, the FCO and DFID. Agencies and government departments have a range of powers that in a properly planned fashion can influence criminal behaviour or use the appropriate regulatory powers. This can be either as an adjunct to criminal investigation, as discrete activity, or part of a comprehensively set of tasked activities on a project base. Just some examples of what I think illustrate these. Operation Captura is a joint initiative between SOCA Crime Stoppers, UK law enforcement authorities and the Spanish. Launched in 2006, to date we've identified 43 of 60 fugitives subject of European arrest warrants who have been brought back to the UK as a result of inquiries and public information in Spain. The success of this has encouraged us to take it forward into the Dutch environment, and again increasing successes of fugitives who are brought back to the UK. Secondly, one particular operation that SOCA had, lack of actual intelligence, prompted us to instigate a multi-agency day of action against a drug trafficking group's principal and partners. That included West Midlands Police, UKBA, Trading Standards, the Fire Service and Health and Safety Executive. Among the successful outcomes were the arrest of three illegal migrants and gathering of sufficient evidence of breaches in fire safety and food hygiene to prosecute the individual and close their business down. Important aspect in taking out an enabler, i.e. the individual's business, to their predicate drug trafficking activity, where because of a whole range of sensitivities, we weren't able to move the evidence into the UK jurisdiction. Finally, SOCR and police forces are working in partnership with the Security Industries Association to identify and disrupt organised criminals working in the industry. We know that the industry is attracted to organised crime. It gains access to doors and hence to the drug markets in nightclubs. It finds opportunities to launder cash, and it also provides the opportunity to gain access to equipment which can be used technically to evade law enforcement surveillance. Over 50 individuals have had their licences revoked, suspended, or are being investigated by the SIA and partners for offences that would lead to revocation or suspension. And we're developing a range of measures to prevent the remaining identified individuals from facilitating further criminal activity, striking the balance between the risks that they pose clearly and the impact on their occupation. And this joint working has provided the legitimate industry with the knowledge about how organised crime has penetrated the business, as well as an assurance that the steps are being put in place to actually address the abuses. Finally, but not least, let me touch on the important relationship national agencies must have with territorial policing. Like SOCR, the NCA will be required to have a broad-ranging, complex relationship with the police service at local, regional, national and international level. To give you an idea of the scale, at the end of March 2011, police forces in England and Wales were working with SOCR in half of our 625 operations and projects at that time. And of course, as well as England and Wales, we mustn't forget the important relationship with ACPOS forces and Northern Ireland. So we've got the issue about the cross-UK nature of organised crime buttoned up. You know, just a point, there is something like a 350-kilometre land border between Europe and the United Kingdom in Northern Ireland. In practice, SOCR's joint working with police forces has included putting staff and IT systems into each of the 10 regional intelligence units, working directly with police forces and other agencies. It's also seen the development of the task force approach, such as taken place in Stockbridge Village in Merseyside, and this isn't just to help John Murphy out, I can assure you, which has long been recognised as an area where organised crime exerts a really strong influence over the community. Project Freshly represents SOCR's contribution to tackling end-to-end criminality, working with the police, the local community safety partnership and others, as a £25 million regeneration project is put in place. The result of this partnership working has been a dramatic increase in community intelligence and the seizure of significant amounts of controlled drugs and firearms. It's also succeeded in closing a local pub that was a notorious haven for criminals, and we've seen the use of both criminal and civil powers on members of the community who have been acting on behalf of organised criminals based elsewhere. We are seeing similar success working with Greater Manchester Police in Project Plateau, where more than 20 agencies and bodies now operate together to bear down on criminality from a range of different perspectives to influence criminal behaviour in a deprived inner city area. If I may, I'd just like to take an extra moment to comment upon the task force approach. This is something which I've long thought needs to be at the centre of our methodology, and John Gallion will be familiar with the approach in the US, from local collaboration to the high-intensity drug trafficking areas, if I've got that right, which are congressionally funded and mandated for federal, state and local agencies to work together. In England and Wales, we started something similar back under the old CEDA, Concerted Interagency Drug Action, in the early 2000s, which was known as Street Level Up, and which had some success. We're now working on a model based upon our recent experiences that allows for engagement of the national and local agencies to deal with organised crime affecting local areas and to engage the broader range of community safety partners who can add real value and to ensure that the link between neighbourhood policing reinforces the international to local response we're seeking. SOCR also works closely with the police service and other law enforcement partners through the Organised Crime Partnership Board. You've probably heard today already about the mapping exercise, which for the first time has provided a consolidated picture of organised crime across the UK. The OCPB is also developing the integrated operating model, the response to this improved picture, And as a precursor to the Organised Crime Coordination Centre currently being established, the data is managed within a secure SOCR environment, and SOCR has been working with forces to understand the aggregate picture of organised crime. Having such a shared understanding of the problem and a mutually agreed approach for responding to it will provide the basis for strong relationships between the NCA and forces, along with other partners. So in conclusion, the nature of organised crime is such that our approach needs to be set in a clear framework of responsibilities and accountabilities, and central to that must be the concept of partnership. Partnership will exist at different levels and will by nature be fluid, requiring differential engagement at different times. What is certain, though, for me, is that collaboration is essential to our response. Thank you, John.